L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 4 rankings. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Pat Fitzmaurice, and it's all about the rankings. It's week 4, the running backs and the wide receivers, who's going up, who's going down, who to play this week, and who we should think twice about. We're going to do all of that in a minute. But before we do, I want to welcome our guest to the show. You know him, obviously, because he is a shark. That's right. He's one of the draft sharks. He's Jared Smola. And Jared, I'm going to press the guest right at the top of the show. Michael Thomas, rest of season, what are you keeping or are you getting rid of him?
Probably keeping him. I think the target share he's drawn so far is pretty encouraging. I mean, I think Chris Olave is a problem. I would not be surprised if Olave outscores Thomas the rest of the way. But I think if you're viewing Thomas as like a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3, I think he can return that type of value.
There you go. See, that's what happens. You throw a little meat to the shark in the water, and he just goes right for it right away. He's not worried. Pat Fitzmaurice, always good to see you, my friend. How about you with Michael Thomas? We had a lot of Michael Thomas questions in the last 24 hours. What to do? The touchdowns have been there. That's been great. Olave starting to emerge, as Jared pointed out. Is Michael Thomas an investment you feel good in right now, or an investment maybe you think you've gotten the best possible scenario, and maybe you're kicking the tires on some deals?
I think I'm in step with our excellent guest here, that I would keep him generally. But yes, Olave is a problem. I do think Olave might be the most valuable receiver they have right now. And I am a little concerned that apparently Michael Thomas was not practicing today with a foot issue. So maybe we don't see him play in London this week. It's still early in the week. Too early to worry about him missing yet, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yes, London game. Some people hate them. I love them. I like football in the morning. Not that I can really enjoy it because I'm doing television myself at that time. But in theory, I love the idea of getting up, having coffee and watching football. People on the West Coast, not so much. They don't love it. But the only thing I love is, of course, my playbook. That's always ready for you. And my playbook also has the cheat sheets tool. And that is one of the most useful and popular features in my playbook. Just sync your league today and you get instant waiver wire lineup advice. And you can combine your favorite experts. Pat Fitzmaurice probably is your favorite. No offense taken. You take all your favorite experts, you put them into a cheat sheet for the rest of the season, dynasty rankings. It doesn't matter. We've got all those rankings and you can get them in one customizable, beautiful cheat sheet. Rankings for all the positions that are conveniently shown on the same page, and there's no need to like toggle back and forth or any of that nonsense. And to make it even better, the cheat sheets tool is free. It's free. It's amazing. Go check it out. My playbook cheat sheets over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook.
Running back rankings.
Now we're going to get into the ranks and we're going to talk about some opinions on the different side of the fence. Some of these guys that the fellas have ranked today, there's a gap in between. We'll see if we can maybe meet in the middle here, or maybe not. Who knows? Let the debate begin, and let's start with a very popular waiver wire bid. Khalil Herbert, running back of the Bears. Now, Montgomery's still day-to-day, quote-unquote. Pat, you've got him at RB13. Our guest Jared has him at 18. ECR, even lower, at 19. So, Pat, you have him at 13. Let's talk about your feelings about Khalil Herbert as of Wednesday.
So, clearly, this is based for me on the assumption that David Montgomery is not going to play. And maybe the ECR moves toward me a little bit. Maybe Jared moves toward me a little bit if we know definitively that Montgomery...
You got to make a convincing argument. I can already tell by his face. He's unsure.
Yeah, so this season, the Bears have run the ball on 65.4% of their offensive snaps. They are making Big Ten teams look like wide-open offenses here. The Giants, their opponent this week, are giving up 5.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs, and they're 28th in the league right now in run defense DVOA. So this is a good matchup with a team that clearly is all about running the ball. So, like, it sets up very well. And as our friend Ian Harditz of PFF posted the other day, like, Herbert's good, man. Since the start of 2021, he has bested David Montgomery in terms of yards per carry, yards after contact per carry, missed tackles forced per carry, and PFF rush grade. So, like, there's reason to believe he is every bit David Montgomery's equal, if not perhaps even a better runner than Montgomery. So, run heavy game script, good player, bad run defense. I think it all points toward a pretty good week for Khalil Herbert. And I think if you picked him up on waivers this week, you want to jam him in your starting lineup.
Yeah. Look, if you told me the Bears ran the ball 165% of the time, I'd believe you from watching them this season so far. All right. So, Jared, is your ranking still based off of waiting for the clarity with Montgomery? And if so, if Khalil Herbert is out, if Montgomery was out, where would Khalil Herbert then be in your ranks?
No, my ranking assumes that Montgomery is out.
Okay.
And so I agree with Pat on a lot of things. Like, I think most fantasy teams are going to be starting Khalil Herbert this week, unless you're loaded at running back. I mean, an RB18 ranking for me, it's a mid-range RB2. My two issues, and I also agree with Pat, I think Herbert's a better runner than Montgomery. I think Montgomery's good. I do think Herbert's a better runner. My two concerns are, one, just a lack of belief in the Bears offense as a whole. I mean, they have an 18-point implied total this week. That's second lowest only to Joe, your New England Patriots, who are at like 15 points or something with Brian Hoyer under center.
Zappe. I'm team Zappe all the way, baby. I want to see the 62 touchdowns. Yeah. Let's go.
Exactly. I mean, we know what Hoyer is, but
right.
Yeah. So that's the first issue. Like, are the Bears going to be able to move the ball? Are they going to score touchdowns? And the second thing where I think Herbert falls short of Montgomery is in the passing game. I think Montgomery's good there. I'm not sure Herbert is. Even in the four games last year where Herbert got a heavy workload, he saw just 10 targets combined in those four games. And with the Bears going so run heavy, like, that hurts Herbert's target projection too. So I only have him for, like, a catch or a catch and a half in this game, which sort of hurts his final spot in the ranks.
All right, let's move on to the next guy that Pat likes more than Jared. Devin Singletary. Pat, you've got him at RB23. Jared's got him at RB32. Consensus a little closer to Jared here at 28 overall. So let's talk about Devin Singletary because, clearly last week was not the best version of the Buffalo Bills. A lot of injuries on the defensive side. But Singletary, still, it seems like he's viable as at least an RB2 range guy. So talk to me about your feelings about Devin Singletary this week.
Yeah, I'm already waving the white flag on this one, Joe. I've dropped into running back 27. And if I recall correctly, Jared, are you a Bills fan?
I'm from Western New York. So, I don't really have, I don't really cheer for any team at this point. I'm all fantasy. But yeah, I like to see the Bills do well.
Yeah, so you are then dialed into the Bills. And, I should probably bow to your knowledge of the Buffalo offense.
I wouldn't say that.
but I think I should probably realize the same thing that kind of put me off James Cook in the preseason when a lot of people were onto him, just that Josh Allen cannibalizes the value of his running backs. I mean, he runs the ball himself. He doesn't really dump off that often. we have seen.
He did see 11 targets last week, Pat. That was kind of eye-popping.
That was a career high, and I don't think he had even seen double digits. I think his previous high was like 8 targets in a single game for his career. So that was kind of an anomaly.
He did catch 9 of them, which I thought was impressive. You know,
definitely. And like, I mean, it's intriguing because he's going against a Ravens defense that has so far allowed 25 receptions to running backs. So if this was a team that, you know, that was kind of their MO, throw to their backs a lot, maybe I'd be buying it and bumping Singletary up instead of moving him down. But the fact that he has played 63% of their offensive snaps so far and still has not seen double-digit carries in a single game, I mean, that's kind of reason to wonder about him. Yes, he might be the 1A in this committee or, you know, maybe even the clear lead, but that doesn't necessarily mean a lot. I mean, this is a team that's won in blowout fashion twice in 3 games, and Singletary still hasn't been able to get double-digit carries. So, you know, like the fact that he's in a good offense, like the fact that they used him a little in the passing game last week, but I think you have to be kind of cautious with him.
Well, Jared, there's one way to settle the question about your fandom. Have you ever been put through a table? Because if the answer is no,
I haven't, but I put someone through a table.
No, it doesn't count. You have to be put through a table to be a real Bills fan. I think that's the criteria. All right, let's talk to you about Singletary. What are your thoughts on him heading into this week? We saw a lot of target volume last week. As Pat pointed out, kind of an anomaly when you look at the historical record. But is that something in his game maybe the Bills are trying to unlock here going forward?
I think the 11 targets are an anomaly because the Bills ran 90 offensive plays last week. You know, that's like a game and a half worth of offensive plays. Josh Allen threw it 63 times. You know, that's like a game and a half's worth of pass attempts. Now, Singletary saw a 17% target share last week. If he can stay anywhere close to that, you know, he'll be getting 5-6 targets a game, which would be awesome. I don't expect him to stay up in that target share range, though. You know, he saw 7% target share over Buffalo's first 2 games. So I'm just trusting the first 2 games more than what we saw in week 3. And I think, you know, again, in half PPR, which is what we're talking here, like to me, he's like a, you know, lower end RB3. If you're talking full PPR, he gains a little bit of value. But I'm just not believing in what we saw last week from Singletary.
All right, let's move on to the next guy that Pat is high on. It is Damian Pierce, RB16, after a good showing last week. Jared's got him at RB23, ECR right now at 21. Actually, ECR has moved up, I just saw as of this morning, to 19. So a little change there. So people are getting even more excited about him. Pat, how excited are you after the 20 for 80 and a touchdown you saw from Damian Pierce last week against the Chicago Bears? And this week he gets the Chargers, D.
So I'm excited, Joe, but I might be whistling past the graveyard in that Pierce fumbled twice last week.
It's fair.
And after the second fumble, which he lost, I don't think he returned to the game. I think it was pure Rex Burkhead after that. Now, that was late in the fourth quarter, I believe. So that's a little concerning, though. What if he gets punished this week, or what if he loses snaps because of, what if he fumbles again, and could that affect his playing time? So that is one concern, but otherwise I'm pretty enthusiastic. Like, he has seen his carries go up every week, 11 in week 1, 15 in week 2, 20 last week against the Bears. After a strangely low snap share in week 1, he's played 62% and 59% of the offensive snaps in the 2 games since. And the Chargers are bad against the run. I mean, they were one of 3 teams in the NFL that gave up more than 2,000 rushing yards to opposing running backs last year. And right now they're giving up 20.7 fantasy points per game to opposing RBs. So, I mean, the fumble thing could derail this all, but I like this matchup. You know, I think the Texans, if they want to hang in this game, they're going to have to, like, you know, run it, run the clock, play ball control. I think it sets up pretty well, even though we don't expect the Texans to score a lot. The TD expectations here, modest. If we get one out of Pierce, we're lucky. But, you know, I think it sets up well for a good workload if he can hang on to the freaking ball, Joe.
Wow, I couldn't sense any tension at all from that statement from you. Jared, your thoughts on Pierce here, because as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason to ever pivot off this guy. This is the dude that is your future there at the position. So let him learn on the job. The Texans aren't going to be making any playoff runs anytime soon. So Do you think that this fumble concern is something that fantasy managers should be concerned about?
I'm not too worried about it. Like it's not factored into my projections this week. I do think he's going to remain the lead ball carrier there. My concerns are, you know, we have the Texans 5-point underdogs in this game, you know, where I liked Pierce a lot last week because we thought they could keep that game against the Bears close, and they did. And that's why Pierce was able to get 20 carries. If they fall behind the Chargers, and you know, that's in question, honestly, after what we saw from the Chargers last week and Herbert being all banged up, you know, maybe Houston can keep this game close. But if they fall behind, I still think we're going to see Rex Burkhead get more snaps than we'd like to see. You know, he's still the one playing in on, you know, primary passing downs. And really, if you look at the Chargers and what they've allowed to, you know, running back so far as fantasy production goes, a lot of it has been in the passing game. The Chargers have allowed the sixth most running back receiving yards and the most running back receiving touchdowns. So I don't think this matchup is as good for Pierce as it looks on paper, because I think, you know, it's the passing game where the running backs are doing damage. And I still think Burkhead is going to get most of that work.
All right, let's switch gears here, flip the script, and let's talk about guys that Jared likes more than Pat for a change. Something different. Jared, we're going to start with Josh Jacobs. You've got it RB16 this week. Pat's got him all the way down at 25, which is where ECR is at 24. So why so high this week on Josh Jacobs for you? Is it just this matchup against Denver or something else you saw last week?
Well, the matchup's actually tough. You know, Denver's eighth in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running back so far. So don't love that. I just think Jacobs has underachieved versus usage so far. I mean, he's played 66% of the Raiders snaps. He's handled 79% of the Raiders carries. He has 42 total carries. That's 13th most in the NFL. So the rushing volume has been there. He's seen only 8 targets, you know, 6.5% target share. That's not ideal, but he's run a pass route on 46% of the pass plays. That's a decent number. I think if that continues, the target share will climb at least a little bit. He just hasn't found the end zone yet. That's kind of why he's disappointed in fantasy. So I just still kind of generally view him as like a mid-range, lower-end RB2. So that's kind of how I'm ranking him this week. Again, the matchup's tough, but at least the Raiders are, you know, 2.5-point home favorites. So you know, game flow shouldn't work against Jacobs. They should be able to get him the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times.
No touchdowns on the year yet for Jacobs. Also, he only had 2 targets and 2 receptions in the first 2 games. Last week, though, it spiked up to 5 receptions on 6 targets. Pat, do you see what Jared's talking about here? And maybe there's a little room to perhaps be a little bit more kind to Jacobs in your rankings based on all the volume he is getting and eventually maybe that turning into more productivity?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is his usage in the passing game. And I think Jared sees the glass half full there. And I may be looking at it a little more half empty with, as you mentioned, Joe, you know, 1 target in each of the first 2 games. So he is running a lot of routes, as Jared points out. But like until last week, that really didn't amount to anything. Yeah, he hasn't found the end zone yet, and he's going up against a defense that has not given up a touchdown to a running back yet this season. I mean, Jared alluded to how difficult a matchup this is. The Broncos are averaging, they're giving up fewer than 10 fantasy points a game to opposing running backs. Part of that is not allowing a touchdown, but they are 8th in DVOA against the run. They've only allowed 9 catches to opposing running backs so far this season. Yeah, I'm just a little skeptical here. I just think it's a tough matchup for him when he's got a bad offensive line trying to match up with a pretty good run defense.
Now, the next guy, nobody really likes all that much, it seems, despite the fact that he's RB15 on the year so far. Now, I understand the Mac Jones injury certainly factors into it, and perhaps the Ramondre Stevenson usage starting to uptick as well. Damian Harris, you've got him, Jared, at 33. Pat's got him at RB39. The ECR's got him at 33. So you're still holding, it seems like, at least in that flex start realm when it comes to Damian Harris. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and again, you know, talking half PPR here definitely helps Harris. He'd be lower if we're talking full PPR. I mean, this ranking could totally blow up because I would not be surprised if the Patriots get shut out on Sunday. I mean, we talked about, you know, the 15.25 point.
You really want to keep laying it in there to me, don't you? Does it feel good to you? Is that what it is? I'm starting to think you're more of a Bills fan than you let on, Jared.
You guys have won enough. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for you.
You should. It's been a glorious 20 years. I got no complaints, man. None.
Yeah. So, I mean, low implied total, big underdogs for the Patriots. That's not the spot you want to have Damian Harris in. But the interesting thing about this matchup is, I mean, first of all, the Patriots are first in Football Outsiders rush offense DVOA through 3 weeks. The Packers are dead last in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. So that's a mismatch. Now, Green Bay should, you know, load up the box and prevent the running game from beating them. We'll see if they do. But I do see some upside in the matchup if New England can keep it, you know, close enough to, you know, get Harris the ball 12 to 15 times.
All right, Pat, what are your thoughts on Harris? Obviously, your expectations are lower. Do you think it's too low at this point, or is he somebody that you would still start if you had to this week?
I mean, Jared conceded that with the Patriots having the implied point total of whatever it is, 15.5, 15.25, there's the odds of a touchdown greatly diminished. And that's a lot of the potential payoff with Damian Harris. He hasn't topped 40% of the offensive snaps in any game this year. And we've seen Ramondre Stevenson have a 62% snap share in each of the last two games. So things seem to be shifting against Harris in this backfield. Like, maybe the Patriots do try to run the offense through the running backs more. It would make a lot of sense given their situation at quarterback. And yes, the Packers have been pretty shaky on defense so far, although they found their footing last week in Tampa Bay a little bit and really kind of shut down Fournette, especially on the inside runs. Like, I think it's harder to run inside against the Packers than outside. And we know Harris is generally more of a between the tackles type guy, and that's going to run him right into Kenny Clark, who I think is like PFF's sixth highest graded defensive lineman right now, and Devondre Campbell. So, I don't think it's a good matchup. I don't think he has a great chance of scoring a touchdown. And, you know, we've seen him lose work to Ramondre Stevenson. Surprisingly, he does have two catches in every game this season, but he's averaging 3.9 yards per target. So, not doing a whole lot with those catches.
All right, before we get to the last guy here, I want to talk about all those fantasy sports fans out there. And, you know, sometimes our love of sports goes a little deeper into other things. What if you caught a break with the potential to net you thousands of dollars with less than $100 investment? Well, we've got great news, because breaksofgod.com is the place to catch that break. Breaks of God is the latest sports card collecting trend to catch fire, and it's how sports card collectors of all ages are building high-value card collections without huge investments or risk. It has quickly become a popular and economic way for sports fans to potentially get high-value or rare cards without having to buy an expensive box or case themselves. From football to baseball and everything in between, there are many slot options available for under $100, so you can get in on the big money action with Breaks of God Breaks. All the cards are broken from sealed premium boxes live on Instagram, and the cards are shipped directly to you for free when the live break is over. So slots are limited, so act fast. To learn more about how you can get and hit the big money cards, get 30% off your first break, go to breaksofgod.com/pros. Again, that's breaksofgod.com/pros and get 30% off your first break. And you can also follow them on Instagram, on Instagram at Breaks of God. So follow them on Instagram at Breaks of God. And don't forget, it's breaksofgod.com/pros. And of course, individual results may vary. There may be no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely. Have some fun there with your sports cards. Let's get to the last RB on the list here, which is a guy that came up in yesterday's show. So I thought this was really interesting because we were talking about picking up JD McKissick for the bye weeks coming up. This is an interesting little PPR play. Now, this particular week, Jared, you've got him as RB 40. I was kind of like further down the trough, but we've got a lot of injuries and issues going on. Pat, you've got him at 51. ECR's got him at 41. So I just want to talk to Jared about why McKissick at 40 for you this particular week. And do you see him having more value than maybe other people realize?
Yeah, I'm rarely the pro JD McKissick guy, so this is kind of a weird spot for me to be in. I think we know that the more negative game script Washington faces, the better news it is for JD McKissick. He didn't do much in week one when Washington beat Jacksonville, but you know, the last 2 weeks in Washington losses, McKissick finished RB19 and RB37 in FPPR points. I mean, I'm ranking him a bit lower than that. We do have Washington 3.5-point underdogs against Dallas this week. I mean, that game should stay close enough. I don't think McKissick gets a huge, huge workload. But, you know, if Dallas does, you know, somehow pull ahead by a couple of touchdowns, I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of McKissick on the field. He actually outsnapped Antonio Gibson last week.
All right. How about you, Pat? Any thoughts on maybe giving a second look to JD McKissick this week?
You said you guys discussed maybe picking him up for the bye weeks. That's really the only time I could ever fathom putting this guy into your starting lineup. There's just such a low ceiling. And right. Jared mentioned that he does have a running back 19 finish this year. Like, that is the ceiling. That is the absolute ceiling, I think, for JD McKissick. Because, like, he's not going to score any touchdowns. He's not going to do anything as a runner. It's just those, like, empty calorie PPR points. that he could possibly get you. And, you know, like, you have to be really desperate at running back to go for that. And if I were doing
there's a lot of people, they're really desperate. So
there are. And if I were doing, you know, projections and putting a median projection down for McKissick, maybe that does come out to something closer to the ECR, like, you know, mid-range running back four, like running back
and
40 or whatever
or something.
Yeah, but because I do it more along the lines of like, would I start this guy over this guy and just look at it, you know, purely his value as a potential starter. Like, I think it's lower because of that terrible ceiling. And like, Dallas has so far faced Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, and Saquon Barkley, three dudes who can catch passes, and they have given up 13 catches for 102 yards so far through three games. So like, it's a pretty tough matchup. You know, maybe, and as Jared said, like, maybe this winds up being kind of a close game, which certainly isn't that great for McKissick. Like, I don't know if Dallas can really boat race anyone with Cooper Rush at quarterback. So yeah, I'm just not into McKissick at all.
Wide receiver rankings.
Okay, let's switch gears and talk about the wide receivers, and we'll start with the guys that Pat likes more. Jahan Dotson had a really good start to the season last week. The bottom dropped out, no touchdowns, was against the Eagles defense. Pat, you've got him still ranked at wide receiver 40. ECR's got him at 44. Jared has him at 53, so he is sour. So let's start with the sweet. Why should people still be sweet on Jahan Dotson this week?
He's played 91% of the offensive snaps for Washington, which is a higher snap share, actually, than Terry McLaurin or Curtis Samuel. Only two catches for 10 yards last week, but he did have a season high 8 targets. Missed a couple of deep shots with he and Carson Wentz not being able to connect. Only 18 targets so far this season, but these are high value targets. He's got an average depth of target of 13.6 yards. And, you know, he scored 3 touchdowns. Like, I think he's a good player. And I know it's tricky every week with 3 very capable wide receivers in Washington. You know, McLaurin, probably still the ace of this group, and Samuel, who gets a lot of targets, although they're, you know, less valuable targets with him being more of a short area receiver. You know, at wide receiver 40, I by no means consider him to be a must start, but like, I think he has shown us enough so far where he at least warrants consideration depending on what your circumstances are at the position.
All right, Jared, I know a little touchdown dependent, but Pat's also pointing out he's on the field quite a bit. Is that enough to maybe bump Dotson up your rankings a little bit?
Yeah, you like the playing time, but I do think, you know, those 3 touchdowns have really boosted his fantasy production and kind of how we're looking at him at this point. Dotson is tied for just 42nd among wide receivers in targets so far. And that's despite Washington ranking 4th in pass attempts. So Dotson's seen just a 14% target share. That's, you know, that's a tough number to live on. And this is a tough matchup too. Dallas 5th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. I mean, we know they have the great pass rush. I just think it's going to be a tough game in general for that Washington passing game against Dallas.
Okay, on to the next one here. Darnell Mooney. Oh, this has been tough, man. Wide receiver 43, Pat, you've got him. You're still, I think, trying to give him some kind of benefit of the doubt, but it's just nothing but doubt right now. Jared is done. Jared is over it. He is so done with Darnell Mooney. Wide receiver 58. ECR is trying to meet you guys in the middle at wide receiver 50 and bring everybody back together for a little kumbaya session. But Pat, talk to me about Darnell Mooney here, because everyone seems to have lost faith, and rightfully so. You mentioned 65% of the time they're running the football. That doesn't leave a whole lot there for Darnell Mooney.
Jared, how can you turn your back on a guy with a robust 25% target share, which means 11 targets on the Bears?
What is it? How many is that on the year altogether?
11 on 44 pass attempts on the season. Oh, so,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it has been just hideous so far. Mooney investors, I mean, a lot of them have just walked away, and I know Mooney was among the most dropped players this past week. If Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy decides to bring his offense out of the leather helmet era of football and actually throw the ball, which, you know, you figure he might need to, since the Bears are pretty much underdogs every game they're going to be in, except last week at home against Houston, it could potentially work. Like, Mooney's got an average depth of target of 13 yards. These are high value targets. We know Justin Fields is a pretty good thrower of the deep ball. PFF has the Giants graded 21st in pass coverage. Like, it could work if Fields throws 30 passes like a normal quarterback, but unfortunately we haven't seen much indication that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it's funny, on fantasybros.com I'm looking at Darnell Mooney, and you know, next to efficiency it has these grades: average, great, yeah, awful. That's literally the word that is on there for Darnell Mooney. And I feel sad for Darnell Mooney because I like the player, but it's a tough situation here. So Jared, you seem to be on the other side. You're the guy dropping him. You're this saying you're done. Is there any way that this can turn around here for Darnell Mooney?
I mean, all he needs is the Bears to throw more. I don't think it's going to happen this week because they're playing the Giants. And like, I don't think the Giants are going to force the Bears to, you know, go super pass heavy. And this run heavy stuff from Chicago, it's all by design. If you look at neutral pass rate, if you look at pass rate over expected, like, they're dead last by a wide margin and you know, all that stuff. So they want to go super run heavy. And Chicago's also dead last in Football Outsiders pass offense DVOA. So even when they have thrown the ball, they haven't been good. So, you know, maybe they shouldn't be throwing much more because they're not good when they do. So I don't, you know, see the volume coming for Mooney to pay off this week.
Next guy on the list here, and the last guy that Pat is higher on, Mecole Hardman. You've got him at wide receiver 53, so potentially a deeper league flex guy. Not so much for Jared. Wide receiver 70, not so much for ECR, 68. So what is the thought process here? Because I know it's been sort of a difficult road so far for Patrick Mahomes, trying to figure out who the go-to person is in this offense. And maybe there isn't going to be one outside of Travis Kelce at this point, but tell me about Mecole Hardman this week in this matchup here and why you have him at wide receiver 53 still, Pat.
Yeah, this one is just so much more narrative driven for me than numbers driven, Joe. It's just my wishful thinking, maybe, that this is clearly the fastest wide receiver in an offense that is trying to replace Tyreek Hill. And that the fact that Hardman saw a 68% snap share last week, which wasn't really that far behind Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But I mean, he's only commanded 11 targets so far this season on 113 total snaps. That's not ideal. But this is a dude who's averaged 9.4 yards per target for his career. And for this season, he's at 6.1. So I think there are going to be some big plays hitting eventually. I mean, I'm not saying he is anything close to a one-for-one Tyreek Hill replacement. We know that's not the case. We know this guy's been a tease for most of his career. But, like, he's a guy I would consider, like, in a deeper league, a 14-teamer where you have to start three wideouts. He might be a guy who would be in play for me just because, you know, the possibility of a splash play is always there.
Now, Jared, you're really not into Mecole Hardman, so I'm going to ask you another question. What is the answer here for the Chiefs offense at this point? Should they be trying to get Sky Moore more involved? Should they be trying to funnel the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster? Or do they just simply not have the answer on this roster right now?
Yeah, I think they better hope the answer is Sky Moore, because I don't think it's Mecole Hardman or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I mean, I haven't been a Hardman fan since the second the Chiefs drafted him, and you know, nothing I've seen over the past 3 years has changed my mind on that. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's the same guy in Kansas City as he was in Green Bay. He has like a 15% target share through three games. That was like his high point in Green Bay, you know, for, you know, 4 years, however long he was there. So he's just not a target earner. He can't be, you know, a primary part of your passing game. So, you know, again, they better hope Juju can get going. And then I think they got to hope Sky Moore is ready. I think the Chiefs plan for Sky Moore was for him to be like a 2023 guy, but I think they need him this year, so hopefully he can contribute.
I keep my fingers crossed. I keep saying it. This year's Amon-Ra St. Brown, second half, just like last year. Maybe that'd be nice. That's why I refuse to drop him like I did Amon-Ra last year. Still mad, still bitter, but you can't tell, right? No, not at all. All right, let's go to some guys that Jared likes more. Brandon Cooks, you've got him at wide receiver 23. The volume's been there. ECR's got him at 22. Pat's got him at 31, though, so he is not feeling this as much. So you seem a little uneasy here about Cooks. Tell me why. You've got this ranking. You're not believing in the Cooks or believing in the ranking?
I love Brandon Cooks. I mean, I think he's been underrated his entire career. He ends up on a lot of my teams. I play him in DFS all the time. It's been super frustrating to start the season for Cooks. I mean, Cooks is the biggest underachiever at wide receiver so far in terms of his usage versus actual fantasy production. He has 29 targets already. That's 13th most among wide receivers, a 27% target share, but he has a 45% catch rate and 5.4 yards per target. Last year, he was at a 67% catch rate, 7.7 yards per target. And last year, he was even better with Davis Mills than in his other games. With Davis Mills last year, Cooks caught 73% of his targets and averaged 7.9 yards per target. So I just, this efficiency has to come up. I mean, we've, you know, Cooks has been a good player for what, like 6-7 years now. Like, he's not going to stay at these levels of efficiency. So I'm just going to, you know, keep betting on that volume that the efficiency climbs. Now, I do still think he can be like a wide receiver too for fantasy teams.
All right. Pat, your thoughts this week for Brandon Cooks? I mean, you still got him as a start. You've got him as a wide receiver three still. Clearly, your expectations have been lowered, which is fair. But will your expectations get much higher, let's say, if he gets dealt to another team at some point this season?
Oh, they'd be a lot higher, Joe, for sure. But as it is, I have already moved him up. Like, Singletary and Cooks have been the two guys I've adjusted a bit since you know, you last looked at the rankings and put together our show plan.
Well, yes, you know, there's a deadline. I get the show plan in, and then after that, you make the moves. That's
exactly
on you guys.
I know, but you're good at finding my Achilles heels, Joe. And I am. You know, finding the weak spots in my rankings, and this was one of them. I've moved him up to wide receiver 27. And as Jared said, like, he's getting the targets. He's been good. What did you say it was, Jared? 6.1 yards per target so far for Cooks?
Not even. 5.4.
Oh, jeez. And like, his career average is what, 9.4? So, I mean, there is due to be a reckoning there. Like, he's going to make some plays. You know, too good to just completely be buried. And like, I don't think Davis Mills is a terrible quarterback. Like, not a great quarterback by any means, but not terrible. And yeah, that catch rate, the yards per target, the numbers have got to go up eventually. So I think you just keep throwing him in your lineup.
I want everyone to know I tried really hard to do a show here today without talking about Allen Robinson in the rankings, but here we are. We came here anyway, because we have to, because it's something that the people need to understand and know. Jared's got him as wide receiver 39. So right on that fringe, he's in that. Okay, you flex him, but you don't feel great about it. ECR's got him at 41. Pat's got him at 47. So Pat is much lower here on Allen Robinson. Jared, the floor is yours first here with Allen Robinson. Your expectations for him this week against San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up as the high guy on Allen Robinson. Kind of not a place I want to be. I kind of do think he's washed. I mean, what we saw in Chicago last year and then what we've seen through the first 3 weeks, like, he's really not a guy I want to be betting on. Maybe I'll end up lowering him in the rankings. It's a tough matchup too against San Francisco. I get, you know, the good news with Robinson, he's still a full-time player. He's running a pass route on almost every single pass play. And then he did set a season high last week with a 20% target share. He's gone from 5% in week one to 14% in week two to 20% in week three. I mean, if he can stay, you know, between 15 and 20% in this offense, he'll be fantasy relevant. But again, not a guy I'm super confident in.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now back to the action. All right. Maybe I'm being cheeky here. I don't know. But what do you think, Pat Fitzmaurice? Who do you think finishes higher this year, Allen Robinson or Ben Skowronek?
Yeah. Ben Skowronek has 13 targets and Allen Robinson has 12 right now.
That's why I asked the question. One's wide receiver 66 on the year so far. And where's Benny Boy? I got to find him. God, you talk while I find Benny Boy.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Allen Robinson, but I would not say that with any degree of confidence. And, you know, Jared talked about the possibility that A-Rob is just washed. Like, if we were bringing evidence for Allen Robinson being washed to a district attorney, like, I think the DA would have enough to bring charges right now. like, he's just... He's Mr. Calisthenics out there. 12 targets on 166 snaps this year. That's just ridiculous. An 11.9% target share. You know, and we know he's not going to out-target Cooper Kupp, but, like, you know, when you're getting out-targeted by Tyler Higbee 2-1 and being out-targeted by Ben Skowronek. Like, that's just bad.
Who's,
and
I mean, by the way, wide receiver 74 on the year, so it's only a few spots between them. So
yeah,
far.
And like, are we going to really get his season breakout against a 49ers defense that through 3 weeks has the highest PFF coverage grade in the NFL and is fifth in DVOA against the pass? I kind of doubt it.
I got to tell you, do you think that Odell Beckham comes back to the Rams? Do you think Odell Beckham goes to Green Bay Packers or other?
I think the Rams would probably be motivated to take him back.
That's what I'm starting to
come back and play in December. Yeah.
How about you, Jared? I was thinking Packers all the way, but now after these first few weeks, I'm starting to think maybe reuniting with the Rams makes more sense for everybody.
I would think Rams, because I mean, they've said they want him back. I think they have to do some, you know, more cap manipulation to make it work. But I do think Beckham's, you know, not going to be a factor until like December based on when his ACL happened. I'd been stashing Van Jefferson everywhere, kind of thinking, you know, he'd take over the number two spot from Robinson, but now he's on IR, so he's out another 4 weeks. So it's they're desperate there. That's why Tyler Higbee is seeing like 25% of the targets.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because that was my thought process too. And this Van Jefferson can't get on the field. I mean, it's a blown opportunity for him, because I think things were wide open for that dude to be the number two, and it just has not happened because he just flat out couldn't be there. One guy has been there, another waiver wire pickup on a lot of teams this week, is Zay Jones. Jared, you've got him at wide receiver 44. ECR and Pat have him at wide receiver 49. So not a huge difference here, but Zay Jones, is that a guy that you want to pick up and throw right in the lineup this week after a 20-point victory, or are you just want to pick up and hold against the Eagles this week?
I mean, I'd prefer to pick up and hold, you know, wide receiver 44. That's, you know, well outside wide receiver 3 territory. Just in general, though, I'm buying the Jags offense. I mean, it was an offense I liked in the preseason just with the massive coaching upgrade they got with Urban Meyer out of there and bringing in Doug Peterson. And then, you know, it's been very promising what we've seen so far from Trevor Lawrence and Zay Jones sitting on a 21.6% target share. I mean, that's, I don't expect him to maintain that level the rest of the way, but even if he can be, you know, slightly below 20, I think he's going to be fantasy relevant. This matchup is tough. You know, the Eagles defense has been really good so far. The thing I do like for Jones, though, you know, the Eagles pass defense tends to try to keep everything in front of them, funnel stuff short. Zay Jones has the lowest average depth of target among the Jaguars' top three wide receivers at 6.3 yards. He's also run about a third of his routes from the slot, so he'll avoid Darius Slay and James Bradbury. I think the slot is kind of where you want to attack the Eagles defense. That's primarily Christian Kirk, but, you know, Zay Jones is going to get some of that slot work.
All right, Pat, your thoughts on Zay Jones this week and maybe rest of season as well?
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's averaging 8 targets a game right now. I think he's PFF's like 18th highest graded wide receiver through the first 3 weeks. You know, I don't love that he primarily plays on the outside where he is going to, I think he's the Z receiver, which is fitting for a guy named Zay. you know, so he's going to be running most of his routes into the coverage of either James Bradbury or Darius Slay. Not good, but, you know, as Jared mentioned, like, the Eagles like to sit in zone and keep things in front of them, and that might work for Zay. And the fact that Zay does play out of the slot a little bit, so possible he does provide a little bit of a floor here. Let me ask Jared something, though, because I was looking at Richie James this morning and where I have him ranked, and realizing it was probably wasn't high enough. Like, I had him below Zay Jones and I moved him ahead of Zay Jones. Who do you have ranked higher of those two, Jared?
I have Zay Jones higher. I guess I just believe in the player more and believe in his offense more. I hate projecting guys for too many targets just because you're like, you know, where else can they go? It's like, right. I'm not sure Richie James is, you know, good enough to command like a 25% target share or something that I think he would need to probably outscore Zay Jones. I'm going to stick with Jones this week. Definitely curious to see how the Giants replace Shepard, though, because, you know, he had seen, you know, like 25% of their targets through 3 games. So that's a big hole in the passing game. You know, maybe James does pick up a lot of that work.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that no Shepard is obviously going to benefit him. And it seems unlikely, at least according to what Brian Daboll was saying early this week, that either Kadarius Toney or Wandale Robinson come back. So maybe a 25%.
I'll believe that when I see it. I'll believe the Kadarius Toney when I see it. I am so frustrated and annoyed with that.
It's funny. I mean, the Giants hate Kenny Galladay and Darius Slayton. They're going to like have to play one of them this week.
I know.
Like, there is no one left.
Getting thin over there in New York, or they could just give the ball to Saquon 30 times and beat the Bears. I mean, that's probably more likely considering the way they can't stop the run.
Rankings Throwdown.
All right, let's get to the guys that I like more than ECR and see what the experts have to say, if they will agree or disagree. Now, last week, I took a pretty bad beating from Pat and our guest. It was like the end of Casino there. I felt like Joe Pesci in the fields. But I'm back for more, regardless. This first guy is James Robinson. This guy is RB3 in half PPR in the year. I've got him ranked at 9 this week. I know it's a tough matchup against the Eagles. I get it. But ECR's got him at 16. I don't think this is enough respect for James Robinson. I'm putting some respect on his name. The guy has been an RB1 pretty much since he's been given the football in this league. He's an RB1. I don't want to have him, you know, as the number 3 back this week, but he's still an RB1 for me. Pat, tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
So I've got him RB19, so I'm a little behind ECR.
No,
Joe,
we're not getting off to a good start here already. You know?
I know, Joe. Here it is, the casino scene again. I'm not going to I'm not going to make, you know, you watch while I like hit your brother with a baseball bat or something.
Like you're taking James Robinson into the field. You're like, watch, Joe, look, watch what happens. I'm going to knock him down my ranks some more. I'm going to keep knocking him down my ranks. Going to bury him.
But I mean, he is amazing. Like on that 50-yard run, was he that fast as a rookie? And now he's coming out. Give him like, you know,
that's amazing. I want to give this guy credit because every time we try to say can't do it.
Right.
The dude's doing it on a weekly basis.
Jared's too young to get this reference, Joe. But is this like a Steve Austin bionic man thing where they gave him like a bionic Achilles?
I can only assume it is. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's pretty amazing. And like the only thing I worry about is that maybe we don't see him get these snaps and touches he normally would, with the Jaguars being, almost a touchdown dog on the road in Philly against an offense that just has been humming all year.
Okay. Look, I have a lot of respect for the Eagles. This ranking of mine has nothing to do with the Eagles. It has to do with James Robinson. So what do you think, Jared? Are you in or out with James Robinson this week?
Yep. The Eagles pass D has been awesome, but in run defense, Football Outsiders has them 25th in DVOA, and they're only 19th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running back. So I think that is the path for the Jags this week to maybe, you know, do some damage on the ground. But I'm with Pat. My concern is just, you know, they're 6.5-point underdogs if they fall behind. You know, we haven't seen Jacksonville a negative game script yet. As crazy as it is to say, I mean, you know, it was a close game against
the dominant
Washington.
Jaguars. Yeah.
Close game against Washington week one. They crushed the Colts and then they crushed the Chargers. So, you know, we haven't seen what the backfield's going to look like if they do fall behind by a couple scores.
All right. Fair enough, guys. Fair enough. We'll see at the end of the week. Let's say in that same game, Miles Sanders, I've got him ranked as RB13. ECR's got him at 18. So not quite, you know, not quite huge a gap as the last one was +7. This is +5 difference. But Jared, let's talk about Miles Sanders in this week on the other side of this football game. What are your expectations from him? He's been pretty solid all year. Does that continue this week against the Jags?
Well, I'm glad I have a chance to talk about the Jaguars defense because it has been awesome
for
3 weeks. And they have a lot of, you know, good, young, talented players there. So it's not a major surprise. But Football Outsiders has them as the best run defense in the NFL for 3 weeks. They're 4th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs. They've allowed 3.6 yards per carry to back so far. They faced Austin Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, and Antonio Gibson. So I'm kind of buying into that defense. And that's why I'm, you know, a bit lower on Miles Sanders this week.
My favorite DFS defense for the first few weeks of the season. That's one that we've been talking about quite a bit on the show. And so far it's paid off a lot more than we even expected. Pat, your thoughts on Miles Sanders here?
Yeah. I'm generally very pro Miles Sanders and will be starting him in a couple of leagues this week. But as Jared said, that the Jacksonville defense, no pushover. They are first in DVOA against the run. And, you know, they've faced a league low 39 rushing attempts. They've been kind of a pass funnel, actually, mainly because they've been in the strange position of being up a lot and teams are having to throw against them. So, and that's the thing, like if Sanders doesn't have success as a runner, like he's not going to get bailed out with his pass catching. You know, he's 6 catches for 13 yards this season. So and, you know, after finally breaking that touchdown free streak that he had of the entire 2021 season and getting it out of the way with that touchdown in week one, he has embarked on a new streak, Joe. No touchdowns the last 2 games.
There you go. I give Mike Mayer credit for breaking that streak. And then the new streak, I will also give credit to Mike Mayer as being a jinx. So there you go. Let's go to the last guy here on my list, Terry McLaurin, who I have 0 shares of. It wasn't a player I was super invested in at all this year, obviously. But now somehow I'm the guy defending him because I've got him at 18. ECR's got him at 26. It's an 8-spot difference. Last week, he had 6 catches for 102 yards on 9 targets. He doesn't have any touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. But if you throw a touchdown in there, this guy's still someone you could go out there and start. I understand the Dallas corners can be good at times, but they also play fast and loose. I think Terry McLaurin's a better play than some other people realize this week. What are your thoughts on McLaurin, your expectations, Pat, this week for him against the Cowboys?
Yeah, generally a big fan of the talents. And as you mentioned, you know, he's done a little something every week. The touchdown in week one, 75 yards week two, and then 102 last week after getting off to a really slow start. It looked like it was going to be a terrible week for him, but he started to pop a little bit late. Kind of the same thing with Dotson. You know, I'm okay with Dotson. I'm okay with any of the 3 Washington receivers. It's just kind of, you never know how the roulette wheel is going to land in a given week. Like, who's the guy to have and who's the guy who just kind of misses in a given week. So that's my fear with McLaurin, that maybe the floor is not quite as sturdy as it used to be now that he is joined in that offense by 2 very capable wide receivers.
All right, Jared, let's check the floor on your end for Terry McLaurin. How do you feel about him this week?
Yeah, again, I just think Wentz is going to struggle against this Dallas pass rush in particular. So I'm not super high on Washington's passing game in general. And then, you know, McLaurin has just a 16% target share through 3 games. And that should climb. Like, I think it'll climb, you know, closer to like 20%. But if I had to guess right now, I think Curtis Samuel out targets McLaurin even, you know, going forward the rest of the way. I just think, you know, they're designing so much stuff for him. They're trying to give him the ball on those short passes. I just kind of think that's going to continue. So I think McLaurin's target share is not going to, you know, reach where it had been the previous few seasons.
Well, this was fun yet again, more for you than for me. But I will take my medicine and come back again next week and see if I can sell anybody on some of the guys that I like more than ECR.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's get to our listener mailbag straight from our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. Again, free to join. Check it out. Great community of people talking football all the time, getting advice, making trades, doing all kinds of fun things over there. And of course, if you're a premium member, you get access to stages, AMA channels, and the touchdown call game too, where we're giving away prizes, giving away a Stephon Diggs jersey, amazing things. So let's hit the listener mailbag. This one's from Trino. Trino wants to know first, let's see, 1 point PPR. What do you think is reasonable to sell Marquise Brown for, given concerns of Hopkins returning? Would you want Breece Hall, Cordarrelle Patterson, trying to get Javonte off the big week, but unlikely? So, Pat, let's start with you with this one. Your expectations here for Marquise Brown, looming return of Hopkins, is now the time after that big game to sell and cash in? And if so, what do you think is a good return?
I think it's not a bad time to sell. Like, I know that DeAndre Hopkins' return is destined to kind of change the weekly floor for Brown. And it's been sturdy because, you know, he's going to be involved. They just have nothing else a wide receiver right now. It's Hollywood Brown and Greg Dortch. So Hopkins is bound to cut into that. And then maybe Rondale Moore comes back at some point, too. So I think it's a good time to sell. I don't think it's realistic to get Javonte Williams for him. But man, if you could get Breece Hall, because it seemed like there was a shift in that backfield last week. Like, we are starting to get more Breece Hall. His usage in the passing game is really promising. We don't know how that's going to look with Zach Wilson, because, like, we have seen Jets running backs targeted more with quarterbacks other than Zach Wilson playing for the Jets. But still, I think the Jets are realizing that Breece Hall is a much better player than Michael Carter, even though Michael Carter's not bad. He's useful, but like, Hall is their future. And I think they realized that and started to act accordingly in week 3.
Now, I agree with Pat. This is the time to cash in on Brown. What do you think, Jared? Is this the time, and is a good return Breece Hall in your opinion?
Yeah. Like, you know, Brown's not a must sell for me. I think he's going to be okay. My bigger concern with Brown, you know, more so than Hopkins coming back, it's just that Cardinals offense in general. I mean, everything has just looked so hard for Kyler Murray that the O-line is not holding up. So that's my concern for me. I would, you know, I'd probably aim a bit higher than Breece Hall with Brown if I could. I probably would do the deal for Hall, though, if, you know, if you could get that. I would not do it for Patterson, who I kind of think he's a sell high right now. I don't think he can maintain this volume on the ground or the production on the ground. I mean, we saw him wear down over the second half of last season, and he wasn't even seeing this much rushing work. And then his Patterson's passing game use is way down. You know, the pass routes and the targets, all that's down from last year. And I'd much rather see him getting, you know, 5 targets per game and 10 carries rather than what he's been getting, you know, 17 carries and 1 target per game. So to me, Patterson is a guy I'd be looking to sell, not buy.
Okay. Another thing too, to remind everybody about, we're giving away a Jalen Hurts autographed jersey. Don't forget. Thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. You can get that jersey. All you gotta do is go to fantasypros.com/contest. The way you can enter is by leaving a review of the show over there. Drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. And of course, if you follow us on our social media platforms of Fantasy Pros, either on TikTok, Instagram, or the Twitter machine, those are also ways to get involved. So drop a review, follow us everywhere, go to fantasypros.com/contest, and that Jalen Hurts jersey can be yours. And don't forget about the amazing My Playbook cheat sheets. They're free. They're going to make your life a lot easier, especially if you're choosing the right expert. So choose wisely. Go check it out, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. I know we have a lot of premium feature tools, but this one's free. So this is how we loop you in with the amazing things. Check that out. And if you like what you see, maybe consider going premium as well at fantasypros.com/offers. It's always great to have Jared Smola on the show. You could follow him on the Twitter machine at SmolaDS. Jared, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your time. We appreciate your insights, despite the fact I'm the only one that really, really likes James Robinson here on the show, it seems like. That's fine. Everything's fine. But Jared, best of luck to you the rest of the year, my friend. It was great to have you today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I'm looking forward to the Josh Jacobs touchdown this week.
Yes, I would look forward to that as well. It'd be nice to see one of them at some point this year. Pat Fitzmaurice, great to have you. A little salty today. I love it. Fantastic. Make sure you follow us again on social media. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel too. And we want to hear from you guys too. Who are you moving up and down your rankings? Drop those in the comments in the YouTube. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Breaks of God. With Breaks of God, all the cards are broken from sealed premium boxes live on Instagram. So follow them on Instagram at Breaks of God. And don't forget to check them out at breaksofgod.com/pros. Again, that's breaksofgod.com/pros to get 30% off your first break. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code fantasypros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Pat and Jared, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.